If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Genesis chapter 4. If you've been with us the last few weeks, then you know that we've kicked off a new series titled The Bible, A True Story. It's a series that's taking us through this book, through the Bible, this amazing storybook that God has given for us to read and to grow and to learn from. And so each week we'll be looking at the amazing people and stories that help reveal who God is and who He desires us to be. A few weeks ago we started with creation in the beginning. How it all began, how God created the heavens and the earth. And then last week we looked a little closer at creation. We looked at the man and woman, and we focused on Adam and Eve and the fall, where sin entered the world. And how even from the very beginning, God showed His love and grace as He references the hope that Jesus would someday bring. And I would encourage you as we go through this series that if you miss a Sunday, to go and to listen to the messages online. Because as I've mentioned, I think it's important that we as a church are walking through the Bible, that we're allowing God to reveal Himself to all of us through each person and story that we read about. And so we put our messages online. It's real easy. You can go to Dallas4.com. You can listen to them there. You can even type in Dallas4 on iTunes. We have a podcast on iTunes. And you can go and you can listen to these messages if you miss them, because I do really believe that it's important as we walk through the Bible together. Well, this morning we're going to take a look at Cain and Abel, who, as I mentioned a few weeks back, are the main reason I decided to do this series. You may remember that back in December I talked about this conversation with a ministry leader who ministers to college students. And in that conversation, he mentioned how he was talking to a college student who was a Christian, who had kind of grown up in church most of his life, but how in that conversation he referenced Cain and Abel, and this student responded by saying, well, who are Cain and Abel? And my thought was, here is a kid who was raised in the church, and yet he doesn't know who Cain and Abel are, which made me wonder, how many people out there don't know who Cain and Abel are, or even other people in the Bible that are only mentioned, you know, once or twice. And this is what led me to this series. And so for those of you that are here this morning that are wondering yourself, who are Cain and Abel? Well, we're about to find out. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me this morning as we read Genesis chapter 4, 1 through 15. This is what it says. In the beginning, Adam made love to his wife Eve. You didn't know that it was going to be PG-13 this morning, did you? There's all sorts of stuff in this section of Scripture. We got sex, we got murder, all sorts of things going on, and so just be prepared. It says this, Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crop for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Here in this section of Scripture, we begin to really see the consequences of the fall. How sin can pull us farther and farther away from the Lord, and how the consequences of sin can often be more difficult and challenging than we expected. It's why I do my best to learn from other people's mistakes and consequences so I don't have to experience them myself. And Cain obviously didn't learn from his parents' mistakes. And it's interesting here because when you look at the beginning of this chapter, it looks as if Eve thought Cain was the one God was talking about back in Genesis 3:15. In verse 1, Eve says, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." And that phrase, "I have brought forth," comes from the Hebrew word kana, which can be translated as gotten or acquired. She had gotten or acquired a man, and it's believed that she was implying that she had acquired the offspring God referred to back in Genesis 3:15, when he talked about her offspring someday crushing the head of the serpent's offspring. But we see here that Cain was obviously not the one. As a matter of fact, he was far from the one. This offspring that God was referring to, we now know, is Jesus. And the thing is Jesus wouldn't even come from the lineage of Cain. And so the question is, what went wrong with Cain? What was it that he did wrong? We see that he brought an offering to God. But why was his offering rejected? Why was Abel's offering accepted and his wasn't? This is what I want to take some time to look at this morning. And this section of Scripture is one that I think falls into the category of in the essentials unity, in the non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. And I say that because I found that there are many views and ideas of why God accepted Abel's offering and not Cain's. And so this morning I want to take some time to look at two beliefs talked about in regard to these scriptures, and I think they're the two most talked about reasons. And that's the reason I'm talking about these two is because I see great arguments for both of them. And one of the things that we need to understand about Scripture is that we always interpret Scripture with Scripture. We use God's Word to interpret God's Word, especially when we read it in the English language, because there are many Greek and Hebrew words or phrases that don't translate well into English. And so when we read something that may sound like the Bible is telling us this, it's important that we always compare it to other scriptures. What is it that God is really saying? Because a lot of times context makes all the difference. And we can see that as we look at many different scriptures throughout the Bible. And so as we look at all these scriptures, there are two main thoughts of why God rejected Cain's offering. The first is this: because it wasn't his best. Because it wasn't his best. Now this is what I remember being taught growing up in church. And people believe this interpretation of these scriptures for a couple different reasons. First off, in verse 3 it says, Cain brought some of the first fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. It says some of the fruits of the soil. And then in verse 4 it says, Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. These two verses together could imply that God rejected this offering because it wasn't the first fruits of his crop. It wasn't his best. And when we look at scripture later, we see that Moses specifically requires the sacrifice or offering of the firstborn when it comes to livestock, which is what Abel did. He gave some of the firstborn of his flock. And then in Exodus 23:19, it says, Bring the best of the firstfruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. And Cain brought an offering from the soil, but it doesn't seem here by what it says that he brought the first fruits of his crop, of what he had grown. And so as we compare this interpretation to other scriptures that we find in God's Word, it's definitely possible that the reason God was upset with Cain was because he didn't give of his first fruits. He didn't give God his best. And if this is true, if this is why God was upset with Cain, then it causes us to ask the question, are we giving God our best? Are we giving Him our first fruits? One rainy Sunday afternoon, a little brother and sister were playing Noah's Ark. An old shoebox was the ark. The bathtub was their flood. And after the flood was over, they decided to make an offering to God. So the boy, Noah, said to the girl, Mrs. Noah, Go get one of your toy animals for us to sacrifice. No, she replied, Why don't you get one of your animals instead? When they could not agree, the little girl got an idea. She ran up to the attic. In a moment, she was back with a toy lamb. It was dirty, its head smashed, and its tail missing. Here, she said, Let's give this as a sacrifice. It's broken anyways. Her brother agreed, so the little broken lamb they didn't want became their sacrifice. Now, we see here that it's not really much of a sacrifice, is it? And the question we have to ask ourselves is how often do we give God our leftovers? How often do we fail to give Him our best? And I know I can say probably more than I want to admit. But God desires our best, regardless of what it is, whether we're talking about ourselves, whether we're talking about our time, our finances, our resources, our marriage, our family, our work, our heart, whatever it is, He deserves our best. Because after all, isn't that what He gave us when He gave of Himself? For God so loved the world that He gave His best. His one and only Son that was perfect and blameless. He gave us His best, and He simply asks us to do what He did. Last week, if you were here, we talked about the fact that God is holy, righteous, and just. And the amazing thing to me is that God doesn't ask anything of us that He hasn't already done Himself. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it tells us, Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. We are called to give Him our best. And whether this is why God was displeased with Cain or not, we see from other scripture throughout the Bible that it's what God desires from all of us. And so we need to be giving Him our best. Now, the second reason many people believe God rejected Cain's sacrifice was because it was the wrong sacrifice. You see, some people believe God actually prefers steak over vegetables. That was a joke. But as we look at these scriptures, we see that Cain sacrificed his crops, fruits and vegetables, while Abel sacrificed an animal. Now, the truth is, we don't know why they were making an offering to the Lord. It doesn't tell us here in Genesis chapter 4. But many scholars believe that because of what God did in Genesis chapter 3, at the very end, when He killed an animal to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness, to cover their shame, to cover their failure, they believe that God most likely revealed to Adam and Eve this need for a blood sacrifice to atone for sin. Again, when we look later in Scripture, when we compare Scripture to Scripture, when we interpret Scripture through Scripture, we see in Leviticus 17:11, it says, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life." Now, people argue that the Bible hasn't talked about these sacrifices yet. So how would Cain know this? How would God be displeased with him for this reason? But you could also argue that the Bible doesn't talk about any kind of offering yet. So why did Cain even bring an offering in the first place? The fact that Cain is offering anything to the Lord could cause us to believe that God had revealed something about sacrifice to them. It's very possible that God revealed to Adam and Eve this need to make sacrifices to atone for their sin. And if this is what Cain was supposed to be doing, it very well could be that Cain was offering the wrong kind of sacrifice. And if this is the case, this causes us to ask the question, are we offering the wrong sacrifice? What is it that we base our salvation on if we call ourselves believers, if we call ourselves followers of Christ? What is it that we base this salvation on? Is it good works? Or is it the blood of Jesus Christ? There are a lot of people in this world that think they're going to heaven because they've been good. But the problem with that is that if we believe in God's Word and if we look in the Scriptures, we'll see that none of us are good. When Adam and Eve sinned, we were all infected. Romans 3:23 tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the interesting thing about that word all, it comes from the Greek word pas, which is P-A-S. And you know what that Greek word means? It's kind of crazy. It actually means all. It means what it says. Everybody, all have sinned. Everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. Because of the fall, we are all born into sin. None of us are good. All who have ever and will ever be born of man have been born into sin. And this is something we all have to understand. God reveals this to us through His Word, through the Bible. And this is why Jesus wasn't born of man. It's why the virgin birth is so important. It's the only way Jesus could be born without sin. And because he was born without sin, and because he lived a sinless life, he was able to be the final blood sacrifice once and for all. He opened the door for our salvation. He became the sacrifice. As John 14:6 tells us, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. This is one of those essentials. This is the non-negotiable. There is one way to the Father. Jesus is it. Jesus is the right sacrifice. He is the only sacrifice, and it's through his sacrifice that we can be reconciled with God. Are we offering the right sacrifice? Is Jesus our Lord and Savior? If this is why God rejected Cain's offering, I know I don't want it to be the reason he rejects me. We have to offer the right sacrifice. Jesus is the answer. Now the truth is, as I read and reread and reread many of the thoughts and arguments of why people believe God rejected Cain's offering, many of the scholars acknowledge that there isn't a definitive answer. We can't say, yes, it absolutely says this. We can make good, educated guesses based on what we know from the Scriptures, what we see later in God's Word. But the reality is, the Bible doesn't clearly say why God rejected Cain's offering. But I do believe it makes one thing clear. And that's this. Cain knew why. In verses 6 and 7, God asked Cain an interesting question. It says, "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted?'" This scripture seems to imply that Cain knew what was right. And so his problem wasn't that he didn't know what he was supposed to do. It seems that his problem had to do with obedience, or in this case, lack of obedience. Which causes us to ask the question, are we walking in obedience? Are we living the life God has called us to live? Cain, like so many people today, wanted to come to God, but the problem was he wanted to do it his way. It seems from this passage that Cain, for lack of a better word, was actually a religious person. I mean, he knew God. He even wanted God's approval. But he wanted to come to God on his own terms, not on God's terms. And I think many of us do the same thing at times. We try to make God work within our terms instead of listening to his desire for our lives and walking in obedience. We try to make religion what we want it to be. We open up God's Word and we read the parts that we like. And we try to make God fit into our religion, into what we want to be, how we want to live. But that's not how it works. God gives us free will. He allows us to make choices, but there are guidelines, and there are some things that if we want to experience the goodness of God, if we want to experience eternity with Him, then we have to fall within these guidelines. You see, Cain failed to do what he knew was right. And when we start heading down the road of disobedience, when we start rebelling against God, because that's what was happening here. Cain gets upset and he starts getting angry and he starts to rebel against God. Who am I? I'm not my brother's keeper. It sounds like something we would hear from a teenager. He begins to rebel here. And when we begin to walk in disobedience, when we begin to rebel against God, it will never end well. And we see that here with Cain. His disobedience and his selfish desires lead to a hardened heart that caused him to do the unimaginable, to end up killing his brother. And we all have to be careful, because when we begin to walk in disobedience, when we begin to go down that road of sin, we open up the door for bad things to happen in our lives. Let me finish this morning with God's question to Cain. And let this be a question to us this morning. Why are we angry? Why is our face downcast? If we do what is right, will we not be accepted? God is giving us every opportunity to bring an offering that is looked upon with favor. God has made a way for us to walk in righteousness. He has clothed us with the robe of righteousness. He's given us every opportunity to offer the right sacrifice. It's just a matter of us listening to what God is telling us and being obedient to what He says. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, You have given us this amazing storybook to reveal who You are and who You desire us to be. And through Your Scriptures this morning, we see that You desire us to be people who walk in obedience to You. You desire us to be people who give You our best, who offer the right sacrifice, Lord. And that's what we want to do. We want to learn from Your Word. We want to learn to be the people You've called us to be, to live the lives that You've called us to live. And so, Lord, we pray that You continue to speak to us through Your Word, that each week I would decrease so that You might increase, and the words that come out of my mouth would be Your Word speaking to each of us, Lord. And that as You speak to our hearts, that we would grab hold of those things that You're speaking to each of us, Lord. We're all at different places in this journey of what it means to serve You and live our lives for You. And we're all called to walk in obedience in different ways. And Lord, we want to learn how to live in that obedience. We want to learn how to live the lives that You've called us to live. And so we pray that You continue to reveal that to us. Lord, if there's any way that we have allowed sin to enter our lives, if there's any way that we have done things that haven't been pleasing to You, I pray that You would reveal those things to us and that You would help us to begin to walk in Your way, Lord, to serve You, to live the life that You've called us to live, Lord. Again, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it is an encouragement to us, Lord, that it may challenge us, it may show us areas in our life where we've messed up, but the purpose is to get us back to You, to living the lives that You've called us to live, Lord. And so we thank You for these things, and we give these things to You in Jesus' name. Amen.